God is now here. I heard a story of a man named Dan who went on a road trip from Atlantic, Iowa to California and back. Like so many of us, he chronicled his journey on social media where he shared his progress from stop to stop each way. He usually posted a photo of his Harley Davidson motorcycle parked at a gas station, and often he gave his followers a glimpse of the local landscape in the background. As you can imagine, there were many places that were very desolate compared to what we are used to here and now. But there was one picture that was particularly intriguing. It was a picture taken in Ogallala, Nebraska. Now, I don't know if anyone here has ever been to Ogallala. Has anyone ever been to Ogallala, Nebraska? I haven't, but he took a picture in front of a place called Fat Dogs. And I understand if you pull off at I-80 at Ogallala and into the Conoco station, you will be at Fat Dogs. Fat Dogs is a convenience store famous for its sign that reads, "You are nowhere." It is a catchy sign. I'll bet that the sign came about after the owner had heard for the umpteenth time from visitors and locals that they felt like they were in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska. But if you add a space between the W and the H, the Fat Dog sign wants you to know that despite being in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, you are also now here at Fat Dogs. I think maybe that is exactly the experience Jacob had in our text for this morning. Out there in the middle of nowhere, he likely felt God is nowhere. But after a night's sleep, he had an epiphany that led him to declare in the morning that God is now here. Like Bobby Love, whom we spoke of last week, Jacob was on the run. He was fleeing his brother's murderous threats. But before you start feeling too sorry for Jacob, I need to remind you that in chapter 25 of Jacob's story, he traded a bowl of stew for his brother's birthright. And by chapter 27, while in cahoots with his mother Rebecca, Jacob robbed his older brother Esau of the blessing reserved for the firstborn son. As the story goes, when Esau found out that what his brother had done to him and that the blessing that was supposed to go to him was going to his slick younger brother instead, he made a vow to the one similar to the one that Michael Corleone made about his older brother Fredo in The Godfather 2, when he said to his henchman Neri, "I don't want anything to happen to him while my mother is still alive." Esau, however, was much more direct with his threat on his older brother. Esau said, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." The jig was up for Jacob. Esau had finally had enough of being tricked by his dastardly little brother and decided that it was time for his brother to be no more. So Jacob was running for his very life. He was running away from his family and in many ways trying to run away from himself. He was on a 400-mile journey from promised land to no promises land, for there were no promises that he would survive the trip through enemy territory. There were no promises that he would be able to reconnect with his extended family, and there were no promises that he would ever return home to enjoy the blessing and birthright that he stole from his brother. Jacob was running for his life, and he was running alone. This middle of the nowhere place, on a dark night setting, perfectly matched Jacob's state of mind and heart. The setting of God's encounter with Jacob matched his state of mind and his spirit. Unless you are a deep woods wilderness camper, do we have anyone in here this morning who camps out in the deep woods? I mean deep woods, not a cabin 5 miles back after a hike. I mean deep woods, nothing there. Well, Elsa is the only one who has ever experienced the kind of aloneness that Jacob encountered out there in the dark, on the desolate and dangerous road back to his father's homeland. I am sure that as he stopped for a night's rest, that it was the first time that he had been completely and utterly alone, hearing only the sounds of the wilderness around him, being shrouded only by the darkness of the skies, the ominous shadows of the trees, and the sounds of animals who make their way at night. Have you ever been in the wilderness where all you heard were sounds that you could not put your finger on? Is it a cricket or a wild lion? Is that the rustle of a raccoon on the trail, or is it a bear? Is it something that will be gentle with me, or is it something out there that will destroy me completely? He was all by himself in a dark and desolate wilderness, afraid of what he had done in the past and afraid of what would meet him in his future. This was all new to Jacob, as it would be for many of us, because he had lived his entire life cloaked in his father Isaac's protection and shrouded in his mother Rebekah's love. The security of the sun had been replaced by the dangers of the night, and as he propped his head on a rock in the middle of nowhere, he must have thought, "What have I done? Why have I put myself in this position? Who can I turn to now?" It is in the midst of his internal interrogation that he falls into a fitful sleep and dreams of angels trekking to and from heaven, and of a God who suddenly appears in the midst of his nightmarish mess. When he woke up, he realized that he was not alone in the middle of nowhere, but was in fact now here in the presence of God. In Psalm 139, the psalmist asks the question, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand, O God, shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Like the psalmist, Jacob had the realization that there is nowhere we can go where God is not already there. There is nowhere that God can't make now here. It turns out that no matter how far we run, when we arrive, we will find that God is already there. God is already there shaping the next chapter of our story. God is already there preparing to receive us, faults and all. Already there waiting to forgive us, mistakes and all. Already there offering promises that only God can keep. Already there planning our purpose. Already there providing for our protection. And already there promising to be present wherever we go next. I sometimes wonder why some stories made it into the Bible and others didn't. We know that all of God's interactions with humanity have not been passed down through the book we call the Bible. And I have wondered, why did this story of a faithless and fickle future father make it into the canon? I have come to the conclusion that this part of Jacob's life made it into the Bible because God wants us to know that the whole, he wants us to know the whole story of how a trickster and thief could become the father of a nation of 12 tribes called Israel. This story was included because of the universality of Jacob's predicament. We have all been where he is in this story. We have all, at some point in our lives, found ourselves in the middle of a metaphorical nowhere, believing that we are all alone. We have all felt like we have been forgotten by the ones we love and abandoned by the God who loves us. Some of us have felt like God was in the building on our wedding day, but missing in action once our marriage got into trouble. Some of us have felt like God was in our corner when we were young and healthy, but has forgotten all about us as we have aged and become ill. Some of us have heard God's voice so clearly in the past, but now hear the deafening sound of silence. It is easy to believe when we feel apart from God that God has departed from us. But God is telling us through the life of Jacob that we can never separate ourselves from the love and care of a God that there is nowhere that God cannot make now here. We cannot separate ourselves from God. God is always right here. The Siberian taiga forest stretches over a quarter of Russia's territory. These forests are as dense as the Amazon jungle, and 62,000 square miles are completely unexplored and uninhabited. The taiga forest is known today as Earth's largest and last wilderness. And it is so remote that one family was lost there for decades until they were discovered in 1978. Talk about remote. Talk about being alone. Lost for decades before they were discovered. But we know that remote places are not just physical places like the taiga in Siberia. We can find ourselves in emotional and spiritual deserted places as well, places where we have lost all hope for the future because of the previous chapters in our story. When we are in those places, emotionally or spiritually, it feels like we are lost in the Amazon jungle or the Siberian taiga, in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by nothing and no one. But as Jacob discovered in his seemingly God-forsaken middle of nowhere place, somewhere between Beersheba and Haran, somewhere between his past and his future, Jacob found out that God is there, and we too may be assured and emboldened that when we feel that we are in a wilderness, when we are in a desert, when we find ourselves all alone, either physically, spiritually, or emotionally, we can remember this story of Jacob and declare in the middle of our nowhere chapter that God is now here, even in the midst of our solitude and our brokenness. God is now here. God is now here in the hospital. God is now here in the midst of bankruptcy. God is now here when our children seem to have lost their minds. God is now here in our singleness as we long for a mate. God is now here in our childlessness as we long for a child of our own. God is now here even in our anger and our faithlessness and in our attempts to separate ourselves from God. God declares that God is now here, and God also promises that we are never nowhere because God is always now here with us. Jacob brought his nowhere situation on himself. He was out there because of things that he did. But even in the midst of his mistakes, God declared that God was now here with him. And the good news for us this morning is that no matter where we take ourselves, no matter what we do to separate ourselves from the ones we love and the God who loves us, God is still going to be now here with us. Amen.